let's stand and sing as best we can. I don't know about you, but I'm hurting right now, but let's sing praise to the Lord.
Before the world was made, before you spoke it to be, you were the King of Kings. Yeah, you were, yeah, you were. And now you're reigning still, enthroned above all things. Angels and saints cry out, we join them as we sing. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God forever. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God forever. God, you came, my breath so I could praise. Your great and matchless name, all my days. So let my whole life be a blazing offering, a life that shouts and sings the greatness of our King. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God.
Time in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
Oh, It's not by faithfulness.
stands in my defense. No one love is this that won the victory. He won the victory. We will crown him king.
Already done that. It's crowned him King of Glory. What a wonderful thing. In ways of announcement, some of you might know Virginia Buckman. She had the bed and breakfast next door to the Sarah Theater. Her son called up yesterday afternoon and said that she had passed away that morning. I'll talk to him later today pertaining to a memorial service. And when that gets figured out, we'll send out an email and let people know about that. Are there other requests you'd like to mention?
Hey, Tyler's uncle Kevin Robinson passed away in an auto accident this week.
Tyler Robinson's uncle. So pray for that family, the Robinson household. Absolutely. Continue to pray for him, the Congress people, people in authority, our military, our missionaries, just about everybody. Sid's in Elderwood now, correct?
Yes.
And how's Jane doing?
Tired.
Do you have a house yet? So keep praying for Jane that she'll be able to settle things where she is supposed to settle. 314B is where Sid is at in Elderwood. And also Sylvia Robinson, Ted's mother, is also in Elderwood for therapy and stuff. She had the mini stroke after her open heart surgery. And Diane and I got to see her Thursday up at Rochester. And she looked good for having gone through major surgery, but she did have that mini stroke, so she's working through that. And I'm sure sometime they'll be traveling home, Carl and Betty. But remember Jason's family. Yes. It's a sad, sad situation, for sure. Linda.
My granddaughter Danielle and Claire is due in February, and if the baby's healthy and after losing one,
Danielle, the due in February. Yes, Teresa. You won them over.
I won them over, so, but it's not so much fun. They're just so cute at that age.
It takes a heart for that. Yes. I'm sure there's many unspoken. This is for Roy, but you can probably add your name to that as well.
Roy.
Splain?
Roy.
Yeah. Loy, okay. Pray for Lloyd. Yes.
And with her family,
And the last name? Newkirk. Newkirk? All right, Amy Newkirk's family. Jane again. That was Rachel?
Rebecca.
Rebecca. All right, George. Uh-huh. Joshua Romberger. Joshua Romberger with the brain surgery. That's pretty critical stuff when they cut into your head. Pat Imhauser as well. There's all kinds of good folks to pray for. Let's sing the prayer chorus. We bow our heads to you in these few moments of prayer, thanking you that we can worship you through these few moments of being able to ascend to the very throne of grace, asking you for help, thanking you for all you have done, realizing that you are King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You're able to do anything. It certainly gives us hope when we lift these folks up to you, not only this morning, but throughout the course of the week. As people pray and lift them up to you, we know that your mighty hand, you are working, touching their lives. Together, Lord, we lift up the Robinson household as they grieve the loss of Tyler's uncle. And just come very close to this family. And along with Amy's family as well. And Lord, you are the God of all comfort. And you tell us... we can comfort those as we have found comfort. And so bring people, friends, family around each person in that household and give them that great comfort that is needed during this time frame. We lift up Rebecca to you and the pregnancies and ask, even with Danielle, that you would help these little babies grow in the womb. Thank you for the fortress that the womb should be. And in praying that, we certainly pray for Governor Cuomo and decisions and just trying to give a license to kill these little babies that should be protected. And Lord, we're certainly thankful for homes and families where people look with anticipation for this little new life to be born and the joys that come with childbirth. And Lord, we pray for these two ladies in particular, that you would work mightily in their life. We think of the Tryon household as well, as they're expecting their new little grandbaby to come on board. So there's a lot of joys that are people looking forward to, along with the grieving aspect and the sickness aspect. Lord, a lot of folks are ill today because of virus and flu and colds. And Lord, we would pray for your hand to be able to touch these folks as well. And as Roy mentioned, his unspoken request, there are many folks here this morning, dear God, that have unspoken, something that is near and dear to them, that is too personal maybe even to share. But we would ask that because you are almighty, all-knowing, and all-caring, that you would reach into that situation and do a miracle, and let that individual know, and those who are around, that there is a God in heaven who does care, that has heard, that is working, moving, and being able to help. Lord, I lift up Tim Frisk to you as we prayed for him last week, and as he's in China today, that today he would have a good day, and that he would accomplish the things he needed to accomplish work-wise, and that as he travels home, that he would get to home safely as well. So we give you great praise for all you're doing. We thank you for the life of our church, the various ministries, the opportunities to work and serve you. Thank you for Teresa's passion for these little puggles. I always say puddles. But Lord, these little ones who come and find joy in being able to learn about Jesus. And Lord, we need folks who have a passion for ministry, people. That's very contagious. Help us to be that contagious believer that uplifts the name of Jesus and draws people to you. In his name we pray. Amen. Father, at this time as we take up these tithes and offerings, we thank you. We give our finances to you, trusting you to meet the needs of the ministries. And Lord, that you would meet our need as well as households. And you are capable. You are trustworthy. Help us to have that faith and being able to realize that we cannot outgive you. And Lord, again, thank you for all you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen.
stand and sing number 26, A Mighty Fortress Is Our God. And as we sing this, really pay attention to the words. We hear a lot of prayer requests for our earthly powers. And this song really speaks to how even earthly powers, their power is temporary, but our God is powerful forever, and his kingdom is forever. And so really pay attention to the words written by Martin Luther. Really good, really, really good song.
A mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark never failing. Our helper, he amid the flood, a portal ills prevailing. For still our ancient foe does seek to work us woe. His wrath and power are great, and our with cruel aid. On earth is not his equal. Did we in our own strength confide,
turning in your Bibles to Exodus chapter 6 for our reading. Who is this God of Israel? We're going to discover in this text and some other verses that this God of Israel is the God of power. Exodus chapter 6. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Now you will see what I will do to Pharaoh. Because of my mighty hand, he will let them go. Because of my hand, he will drive them out of his country." God also said to Moses, "I am the Lord. I appeared to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob as God Almighty. But by my name, the Lord, I did not make myself known to them. I also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, where they lived as aliens. Moreover, I have heard the groaning of the Israelites from the Egyptians are enslaving, and I have remembered my covenant. Therefore, I say to the Israelites, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. I will free you from being slaves to them, and I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with mighty acts of judgment. I will take you as my own people, and I will be your God. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God, who brought you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. And I will bring you into the land I swore with uplifted hand to give to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. I will give it to you as a possession. I am the Lord. Father, how precious is your word. Insightful and meaningful and powerful. And Lord, we would pray that this word today would speak to our inner person, would speak to our hearts and into our minds, that we would leave here empowered to be able to live more for you, maybe more passionately for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Last week, Pastor Zach preached, "Who is this God of Israel?" And it was pertaining to God's holiness. And as we looked at that portion of Scripture in Isaiah, that he saw the Lord high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple, and the seraphims flew, the burning ones, shouting out, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." And as Isaiah was in that presence, seeing that vision, seeing God's holiness, his purity, he reflected and saw his uncleanness. And he said, "Woe am I am ruined." And then the seraphim took that sacrifice, the hot coal, and touched Isaiah's lips and said, "You are now pure." Has God touched your life in that way? In part of our scripture that we read this morning, at the end of verse 6, it says, "I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with mighty acts of judgment." As I read that several times this week, I thought of Christ and his outstretched arms on Calvary, and that he would redeem those who accepted, placed their trust in him. And so this morning we're going to be introduced to this God of power. Four times in this text that we read, God refers to himself, "I am the Lord." 17 times he refers to himself with that personal pronoun, "I." Just think, I hope you bring your hard-covered Bibles. Phone Bibles are great if you're going to the dentist or someplace and you need to carry something small. But when you're coming to church, bring your big Bibles with you, your big gun with you, so that you can see it and underline it and scar it up and just make it so personable. And 17 times he refers to himself, I will do this. It is me. I will redeem you. I am the Lord. I will give you. 7 times is when he mentions the I will. And that sets himself up above any other God that people would want to believe in, even in that time framing. He tells Moses that he is God Almighty. And when you hear that name, God Almighty, it should make reference to the fact that there is no other God. He is all-powerful. He is all-knowing. He is all-caring. He's everything. He is almighty. Nothing is impossible that he cannot do, because he is almighty. Well, let's go back to the beginning. God's first act of power was to create everything. In Colossians we read, "For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers, rulers or authorities, all things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together." That is the God of Israel. And I think of so many lives, so many families are falling apart. He holds all things together. If we are obedient, if we're loving him wholeheartedly, if we're doing what he wants us to do, he created us. And he holds all things together. So if your life is falling apart, your family's lives are falling apart, do some research and see, you know, why. Why is it falling apart? God spoke and the world came into existence. The sun, the moon, the stars, the galaxies that man cannot even get to or know about. It's interesting. I think it's the Hubble, one of the Hubbles, that they set way out light years, billions of dollars to be able to look at and send pictures back. And I thought, as far as that machine can go, that Hubble can go, it hasn't gone far enough to where God is and what the galaxies that he has created. And God created man in his own image. In the image of God he created him. Male and female he created him. We didn't come from a monkey. God created us. In the image of himself he created us. By his power he created us, to be able to give him honor and glory and praise. And as you read the creation account, there's a whole lot more that you can expound upon concerning his power. But back to the present day in our text concerning the Exodus of Egypt. God revealed his power through that burning bush experience. The bush never burned up. And God spoke to Moses. And he says, "I've heard their groanings. I've heard their cries. I want you to go down there and deliver them." You know, God still hears our groanings today, our prayers today. And God showed his power to the king of Egypt, Pharaoh, and to the Israelites through the plagues that he used to remove any doubt of who he was. And I reread the plagues this week. Remember Aaron throwing down his staff and it became the snake and it ate up all the other snakes? And then there was the water that turned to blood. Can you imagine being in this time framing when all of this took place, how that must have stunk? You ever been, you throw a package of meat away, or you open up a package and you cook the burger and you don't rinse out the plastic and it's in your trash and after a day or so it begins to stink? Well, that was the smell in Egypt, the blood that was rotting and drying and the stink that was going on. And then frogs came onto the scene. And all the while, Pharaoh would be leaning about letting the people go, and then his heart would get hard and he wouldn't. Those frogs, he finally said to Moses, you know, get rid of them. And all the frogs died. They made piles of these frogs. Again, the stink. The gnats came, the flies came. Now, all of this happened in Egypt. Israel was in the land of Goshen, next door. Think of Elmira maybe being the land of Goshen and our valley being the land of Egypt. All this catastrophe, these judgments that God was bringing on to the Egyptians to get them to let the Israelites go, to let Pharaoh know who indeed was God Almighty, the land of Goshen wasn't getting any of these judgments, though they were right next door. The livestock died in Egypt, but not in Goshen. Boils festered people and animals. Just think of that misery. Compounded upon each thing. Miserable. Hail came, destroyed most of the crops. And at this point he says, that I might show you my power. This is all that he's doing. And the hail came and just destroyed many of the crops, but not all of them. And then the locusts came and ate up everything else. And darkness was over the land for 3 days. And you'd think it wouldn't take these many plagues, judgments, to let this Pharaoh know that he was outmatched. Well, what really got him was when the firstborn dies. People and animals' firstborn dies. And it's at this point where God tells Moses, tell the Israelites to sacrifice a pure animal and put the blood over the door frames and go inside. And when the death angel comes, it will pass over when he sees the blood. Isn't that like Jesus and the blood that we apply to our own lives through his sacrifice? And when that death angel comes, the judgment, they see Jesus' blood and they pass over. We've heard this account several times over. But I got to thinking this week, pertaining to the firstborn that dies, just think of you, maybe your household, a father and a mother that were firstborn children, and they had a child, only child, firstborn. That entire family would have died, erased from the family tree. But not those that were covered by the blood. And then he says, okay, you can go. Get out of here. And God led them by the pillar of cloud by day and the fire by night. And he split the Red Sea in two that the Israelites could walk across on dry ground. And he caused water to flow out of the rock when they got thirsty. And he fed them from the manna that came from the sky. And the sandals didn't wear out in their 40-year journey. God's power and his faithfulness to his people can be seen throughout all of that Exodus journey. How have you seen God's power in your journey, in your faith walk? The God of Israel. God's word has always been faithful. And as we read in the Old Testament, he spoke and it came to being. And when we read God's word today, his word is still faithful to us today. It is still powerful today. And he did deliver the people from bondage. Look, beginning with verse 7 in our text there, he says, I will take you as my own people. I will be your God. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God, who brought you out from underneath this yoke of the Egyptians, and I will bring you to the land I swore with uplifted hand to give to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I will give it to you as a possession. I am the Lord. Four of the seven times are recorded here that I will do it. It's not up to us to do it. God will do it. God's power will do it. And a lot of times God's power will do it through us, to accomplish what he wants to get accomplished. And God's command to Moses was to tell the people to love him, to serve him, to obey him, all the commandments that he had established. And in so doing, he would be with them. And then God warned them not to be enticed to follow the other gods that the other nations follow, or that they would be led astray and forget that all he has done. You know, just this brief text that we read about and all the power that he exhibited to show him who he was, you wouldn't think that anybody would forget that. But he warns them, if you follow after other gods, you're going to forget me. Don't be enticed. And that same warning goes out for every one of us. That we could be enticed, led astray by the things of this world. And we would forget about all that God has done for us. We would forget about it. Well, eventually Moses died. Joshua takes command. And Joshua saw the power of God at work. Just as he had seen God work through Moses, he was going to work through Joshua as well. And the Jordan River stopped flowing at flood stage. And they walked across on dry ground. And the walls of Jericho came tumbling down. And the Israelites went into that promised land, the land of Canaan. And at the end of his life, Joshua is telling all the people, kind of giving him a legacy and an insight of all that took place. And his famous words are on a plaque that many of you have in your homes today. He says, "Now fear the Lord, serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods your forefathers worshiped beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you," that's the choice. We have a choice. We can either serve the God of Israel or we don't have to. And that's what Joshua is saying to the next generation that was coming up. Whether the gods before you that you serve beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. And Joshua is there. You can picture him as an old man. He's gone through it. He was a young warrior at the time, and he'd seen God do wonderful, great things through him. And he wants to leave this as a legacy. And he says, "But for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Some of you have got that plaque in your homes. That's what we want to leave to the next generation. But listen to this portion of Scripture that is oh so true for today. After that whole generation had been gathered to their fathers, they had died off. That generation that was so vigorous, so passionate for God, seeing his powerful works and doing what he wanted to do, they're dead now. They're gone. Another generation grew up who knew neither the Lord nor what he had done for Israel. Then the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord and served other gods. They forsook the Lord God of their fathers who had brought them out of Egypt. They followed and worshiped various gods of the peoples around them. They provoked the Lord to anger. The next generation didn't believe in God. This isn't true for all of them, but I think a large percentage. And you hear a lot about millennials, that age group in the 80s, and now they're adults, and now they're in authority positions, some in the political arena, and they neither know the God of Israel, and they don't desire to do what he wants to do. And we can see laws that are affecting their decision today. Governor Cuomo making that decision. I'm not sure whether he's a millennial or not, but he's certainly probably trying to please them. And he's making these choices that God says are detestable, the abomination. And yet they're choosing to do that because they grew up and they didn't know him. It's so important that we pass what we know about God and our passion for him down to our grandkids and the grandkids so that they won't be enticed to go after other things in the world. So they rebelled. And at this point in our history, God raised up judges to guide the people. And while there was a judge in the land, the people were at peace. But when the judge died, they did evil again. It was a roller coaster ride. Well, some of the judges you're familiar with. Gideon was a judge. Samson was a judge. And they, as God anointed them, they did great works. You got the pillars behind us. Remember Samson pushing them down? He did some bad things too, but he was a judge, and when he was doing good, the nation did all right. And God empowered them to be able to do the powerful good things. Well, when they died, again, they rebelled. And a sad state in history is the fact that they wanted to be like other nations and to have a king rule over them. And God said, what's the matter with me? Well, we don't want you. We want to be like these people. And he said, all right, go ahead, you can have it. And while the kings reigned, he raised up prophets to be able to be spokesmen for God Almighty, this God of Israel. Elijah and Elisha were probably two of the most famous, the ones that we can really recognize. Remember Elijah going up on Mount Carmel and calling down fire to lick up the altar to combat the worship of Baal. And Elisha took over for him. And there was a widowed woman that was going to have a last meal with her son, and she was going to die, and she's basically blaming Elisha for the state that they were in. And he says, well, why don't you gather up all the containers and fill them with oil? And for as many containers that she had, she was able to, from one container, fill them all up. And he says, go and sell, and you'll be provided for. The power of God in that situation. Well, Jesus comes on board in the New Testament. And let us remember that we serve one God. The God of Israel and Jesus are the same. Remember Jesus' words. Before Abraham was, I am. I am was the one who was speaking out of the bush. Go tell the Egyptians, I am, is sending you. Jesus says, before Abraham was, I am. Four times in our text that we read, he says, I am the Lord. Jesus spoke and the winds died down and the seas quieted. He spoke and Lazarus came out. God was showing us that his power again through the various miracles that are recorded that Jesus did. I hope you believe in miracles today, because we're still living with this God of Israel who was able to do everything. And the disciples, as Jesus handed the baton off to the disciples, their great acts through the power of Jesus' name. And one of the powerful things that the disciples did that I really relate to well is when Peter and John were going up to the temple to pray, and there was this crippled man laying there with a little jar needing money, and he was there for years. They'd bring him there, set him there, and almost like alms for the poor. And Peter and John are coming up. They see him. He's lifting up his little container, and Peter looks at him and says, silver and gold have I none, but what I do have, I give unto you in the name of Jesus. Rise up and walk. And he did. How I relate to that is silver and gold I have none. Neither do you. Silver and gold we don't have, but what we do have is the name of Jesus. In the power of Jesus' name, we can do things. Account after account in the Bible reaffirms the God of Israel. And our faith in Christ, even with what has been said, should just breathe hope into us. Because of the God of Israel, being God Almighty, I am the Lord. God's power is still with us today. Are you having a bad day today? Are you having a bad start of a new year? Some people might be. Maybe they were hoping that January 2019 would be a brand new start and they could leave the baggage and the things that had dragged them down in 2018 back there. But only the first week and a half into January, and they're realizing that, oh no, it's still here. It's still with me. I still have to deal with it. And it's creating a hard time for them. I want to read some scripture to us pertaining to this God of Israel and the power that He has that we can have as well as we think about this. You should leave here with a skip in your step, particularly if you're having a bad time or a hard year. Romans 8 tells us, we are more than conquerors through Him. That doesn't sound like some wimpy thing. It sounds like we can do anything. We are more than conquerors through Him. If God is for us, who can be against us? And Ephesians 6 tells us, finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. It's not our power. It's not more strength because I had a good night's sleep or I've started to work out, I feel a little stronger. It's in God's power, His mighty power. Be strong in His mighty power. Rest upon Him. I'm leaning on the arms of Jesus. Greater is He that is in you than is he in the world. And we're talking about being enticed and led astray and having a bad time. Well, God is more powerful than he that is trying to disrupt our lives, destroy our lives. And His divine power, not our power, His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who has called us into His own glory and goodness. His divine power has given us everything. What's lacking? Well, I want to shout that out, but I know I got a microphone. What's lacking if He has given us everything? His divine power, the God of Israel. The same God of Israel who spoke the foundations of the world into existence and delivered the Israelites out of bondage. He has delivered us out of bondage. Who anointed the judges and the prophets with power still anoints us today. He's still in that business. He may not use us to heal the sick or raise people from the dead. He may not, or He may heal us physically. But He gives us power through Him to live for Him. He gives us that power to say no to sin. I'm not going to be enticed, be led astray. No. And to be able to live self-controlled lives. And He gives us that power to be able to live through the hard times, and they're coming. Have you experienced that power of the God of Israel in your journey? I hope so. You can. Father, indeed, You are the God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and we can say You are our God. And just as You were with Moses, just as You were with Joshua, just as You were with Elijah and Elisha, the judges and the prophets, just as You were with the disciples, today You are with us. With that inner person, the Holy Spirit of God, living in us and through us. Help us, dear God, to rely upon Your power. Help us to trust You. Empower us to be able to live for You. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let's stand and close with number 4, How Great Thou Art.
Thank you.
consider all the worlds I had to pay. I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe display. Then sings my soul, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art.
Heavenly Father, if there's anybody here this morning that has not experienced the power of the God of Israel through receiving you as their personal Savior, being redeemed by that outstretched arm, may the Spirit of the living God so move in their heart and in their life that they would want to search out a person who can help them understand, that they would just cry out to you, save me. Help me to live for you. I thank you for my church family, dear God, and I ask your anointing. I ask your blessing upon their lives, that they would experience the power of God Almighty in their circumstances that they're dealing with. In Jesus' name, amen.